music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. This is the Kelly Alexander Show.
This week on the program, we speak to Ebony Rowe, the founder of Honey Jam, an artist development program in Canada that has helped artists like Nelly Furtado, Lou Kalla, and Julie Black. We then have a discussion where I talk to you about what network television shows you can expect to see in the fall, which ones are on the way out, and also new series that are coming our way. We also discuss why Dua Lipa has a very busy month ahead, and we also talk about why everyone is so obsessed with Taylor Swift's lyrics from her new album, The Tortured Poets Department.
Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
We're very happy to welcome to the show Ebony Rowe, who is the founder of Honey Jam, a well-known artist development program that's dedicated to empowering and promoting Canadian female artists like Nelly Furtado, Lou Kalla, and Julie Black, just to name a few. Ebony, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, and hey to your listeners out there.
So first of all, where did your love for music and artistry kind of take root?
From a child. My father, along with many skills that he had, he was a musician, a guitarist, and his family were all into music. And so I was learning piano at the age of 6, and I was in the school choir.
How would you, Ebony, describe Honey Jam, and why did you come up with this idea to create this program?
I would describe it as a nonprofit youth artist development program. We're providing networking opportunities, mentoring, performance opportunities, educational opportunities, and it's also a forever sisterhood. So you're learning all of those things, but it's also a safe space where women can gather and learn from each other and share and be vulnerable. And the idea came kind of by accident. I edited an all-female issue of an entertainment magazine called Mic Check in 1994. And then we had the rap party in 1995, and it was called Honey Jam. And it was supposed, that was supposed to be it. And then everyone said, when's the next one? And I said, what? And I thought, okay, let's try it out for a year. And here we are 29 years later.
Who can participate in Honey Jam, and what happens once you've been chosen?
So the age range that we focus on is 14 to 25. You can be from any culture, any genre of music, hip hop, jazz, opera, country, pop, rock, dance, reggae, everything, Punjabi. The more variety, the better, and from anywhere across Canada. So we're doing 2 live auditions this year, a pop-up in Montreal, and then our standard live auditions in Toronto. But if you can't make it to either of the lives, you can submit online. So all the information is on honeyjam.com, everything that you may have wanted to know. And then once you're chosen, then the program begins. And we start with vocal and performance coaching. Our musical director meets with the artist and discusses the arrangement for their song. There's songwriting camp opportunities, different workshops that we'll be doing throughout the summer. We'll have a launch where all of the artists will be announced who made it into the cohort this year. And then the concert is on August the 29th at TD Music Hall in Toronto.
How do you find the program has evolved in the last 29 years? Just even in the fact that there's so many different styles of music now that I think weren't always evident now or before, I should say, because there's lots of mixing and matching now, apart from just your standard rock, pop, R&B, hip hop. And then even the fact that like social media is now playing a part in all of this as well.
That is the nail on the head. The biggest difference is social media. And the ability for the whole DIY thing, you know? So before, the artists were very dependent on mostly men in the industry who were producers. Now everyone can be a producer. You just need a flat surface and your laptop, and then ways for the artist to be discovered. You know, anyone in the world can now do that. It's very challenging for people to remember what it was like before the internet, before digital cameras, before smartphones and what a revolutionary thing the advent of all of those things became. You know, when we started, artists had their background music on cassette tape. People, there's a whole generation, a couple generations that don't know what that is. And the tape would get eaten up in the machine. Like, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. So that is the biggest thing in what the artists are able to do for themselves and the ways in which we are able to promote what they do. The other big thing is sponsorship. So at the beginning, I had a full-time job as a legal assistant and I was funding it. And now, you know, we have much better funding and we're able to do more things. We're able to, you know, hold spaces where we can have workshops and mentor cafes. We've taken the artists on trips. We went to New York, we went to Nashville, we went to Los Angeles and just exposed them to different things and different people, different fan bases, different musical centers. And so that's made a huge difference in what we've been able to provide.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is Honey Jam founder Ebony Rowe. Make sure you hit up their website, honeyjam.com, for all of the information and, of course, all of their social media handles. You have had some phenomenal women artists like Jessie Reyez, Serena Ryder, Deborah Cox, Janelle Monáe, and Erykah Badu be a part of your Honey Jam workshops. What is the reaction like from the young women learning from these greats? And what is some of the best advice you've heard these artists give out to some of these up-and-comers?
We have been so fortunate that so many big stars, and in the early days, we didn't have any money, and that they would donate their time to do this. Many of them resonate with what we're doing because there was nothing like this for them when they were coming up, and they wish that there had been. And so they are so down to earth and so generous with their advice. Quite a lot of the advice really has nothing to do with the music specific industry, but to do with your humanness, your femaleness, and how you move in the world, how you navigate issues and pitfalls in life, the people that you choose to surround yourself with, right? Not accepting any less than you know that you deserve, and knowing that there's always another opportunity. There's so many people, shady people in the industry that want to take advantage of young hopefuls that have stars in their eyes, and they'll make it seem as if you don't work with them, that you're never going to have another chance. There's always another chance, and you never, ever, ever put yourself in a position that is something that you don't feel comfortable with in order to get an opportunity. It's never going to be a good thing. And so a lot of the advice tends to be around those things as opposed to, oh, make sure that you know about publishing or, you know, those types of things. It's kind of a lot of advice that can help you through life.
You've had some very famous alumni, Nelly Furtado, Julie Black, and Luke Halla. Nelly Furtado was actually discovered at a Honey Jam performance, and she has been very open about the fact that she wouldn't be where she is without Honey Jam. Why do you think that is?
I think the reason that she says that specifically is because her manager found her at Honey Jam, and it is the manager that she has today. And so he is the one who has taken her through her career. And so I think that that's the reason that she says that. She is such an amazing human being. She never, with all of the success, all of the money, all of the acclaim and fame, has always remembered Honey Jam. You know, even when she was on stage at Drake's OVO festival last year, and he brought her out and she said, oh, this feels like Honey Jam all over again. I thought I was going to faint. So, she's very sweet, very humble, very kind, very dear. And she remembers Honey Jam always.
Do you know Who will be your mentors for this upcoming season? And can you share any of that news with us?
I don't know. In terms of the stars, what we tend to do is take advantage of when they might be in Toronto for something else, because the type of money it would take for us, because a lot of them don't live in Toronto, for us to fly them in with a manager and first class and accommodation, we just would not be able to afford that. And so, you know, in terms of star artists, we wait to see what the calendar of events looks like and if we can grab them when they happen to be here. But for people, other people in the industry, like managers and songwriters and different things, we can organize that. They're a little bit more, a lot more accessible with less of the things that the artist would be dealing with, like touring and appearances and things like that, that are going to take their time and attention away.
I have to ask you, just in the fact that, you know, having Erykah Badu and Janelle Monáe have been a part of your program, how did that even happen? Like, did you reach out to them directly? Because I'm really fascinated, knowing, of course, that Erykah Badu is like from Dallas and probably spends most of her time in Texas. So I'm just really curious how you guys even hooked up. That's so awesome.
So Erykah was already in Toronto. Some other promoters had brought her up to be involved in events, and then they invited us. So I am very dogged in creating opportunities. So the minute that I hear of someone coming, I will contact whoever's bringing them immediately. With Janelle Monáe, she came up during the Panama Games or something, that was in Toronto, and they were doing a series of free performances at City Hall. And I swear, I spent at least a month just stalking people who were involved in it, because I just can't let that opportunity pass without doing everything that I could. And so I called and emailed and DM'd and WhatsApped. And then they said, okay, her management has agreed that after the show, she'll give you 20 minutes. So I brought the girls down, and I always say to them, like, she could be tired after the show. You never know, just to manage expectations. But we waited. She came out, and in those 20 minutes, the girls got to sing for her. They got to ask her questions. They got to take pictures with her, and she got to give them some encouraging words. And she was just very, very sweet. You know, what's not to like about what we're doing? It's so positive. And the artists are so grateful, and these are their musical heroes, you know? And so who doesn't want to be surrounded up close and personal with these young vessels of light that are hanging on your every word? So it's a real treat for the artists as well. And I'm very specific about the type of people that I bring around the artists. I won't have people with huge egos that are going to act like they're doing us some kind of favor. It has to be a very genuine, enthusiastic, sincere wanting to participate and pass on knowledge.
That's fantastic. Now, can you talk to us a little bit about your decision to come to Montreal? Because before we started recording this interview, I had mentioned to you that, you know, I was in Toronto when I was, in university, and like I knew of your event, and it was such a big deal. And so the fact that you would now be bringing this to my hometown is absolutely like stunning to me. I'm so excited for the young artists that live in my city of Montreal.
So all of these years, it's always been a Canada-wide search. And I've wanted to have auditions and even possibly one day do mini showcases in different provinces across the country. But we just didn't have the funding to be able to do it, or the partnerships, et cetera. So last year I was flown to Nova Scotia for the East Coast Music Conference. And so I thought, okay, I don't have to worry about hotel and flight. Let me see if while I'm there, we can do a mini pop-up audition. And that's how it started. And I really love the idea of meeting these artists face to face. It's so different than if someone is sending something online. And I thought, this is something I want to continue. And as when I thought, where do we go to next? The first place I thought was Montreal. It is where I'm from. And then you have the Francophone component as well that we like to include. And so, yeah, that's how it happened.
What do you want prospective female artists from Montreal to know about the audition process on the 5th of May? Like, how should they prepare?
What I want is for them to act like this is their concert, right? So that's how you carry yourself. That's how you dress, whatever your brand is, your authentic self. In terms of song choices, artists always ask, should I do an original? Should I do a cover? Do an original if it is an excellent original. If you are a good songwriter, if you're not, do a cover, right? But if you do a cover, this isn't karaoke. So put your own original stamp on it, right? Have confidence, practice for the audition, record yourself ahead of time, you know, and have a little audience of your family or something. You know, ask a friend to come with you to the auditions and have them scream and clap for you when you come on the stage to boost your confidence. Yeah, just practice. And because you only have 60 seconds, make sure that you're choosing the portion of the song that is best going to show us what your talent is, you know, and the type of range that you have with your vocals.
How long does it take for you to whittle down the people that are actually going to make the cut?
Oh my gosh, it is such a tough, tough process. Every year I find the talent is just better and better. And I think it's because they have so many tools to work on things themselves at home. And so many people want to do this as a living. So it's very hard. Out of the auditions, I could probably do 4 honey jams. It's an excruciating process, but it needs to happen within a couple weeks of the last live audition. So we've got the Montreal audition on May 5th. We've got the out of province artists that can't make it submitting online all the time. Then the Toronto audition's June 1st. So we will then have a few weeks to whittle it down. We'll be looking at maybe a total of between 15 to 20. And we're looking to represent as many different provinces as possible, as many different cultures of women and genres of music.
And how does it work for someone in Montreal? Because obviously before, when it's in Toronto, like some of the events that you would maybe go to, like you said, when you brought people to go see Janelle Monáe, like that was in Toronto. So if you have an artist that's based in Montreal, how do they participate in things that might be only Toronto centric?
Well, that has been the case for as long as Honey Jam has been around, where we've had artists from other provinces. What tends to happen is almost everyone across the country knows someone in Toronto, and many of them will come for the summer. That happens a lot. Or if they can't come from the for the summer, I'll give them the list of what events are happening and when, and they might come for a week, you know? And then Honey Jam is the never-ending sisterhood. So many artists, years after they've done Honey Jam, might move to Toronto. And then they get to attend a whole lot of events that they didn't get to before because they didn't live here. So there's an endless array of opportunities.
What is next for Honey Jam? Like, how do you see the program evolving into the future?
Well, next year is our 30th anniversary. And so our last milestone anniversary was our 25th, and that was the year of COVID. And every single amazing plan that we had just blew up in smoke, just like that. So I'm still in therapy, getting over the disappointment of that and just wanting to make 2025 an amazing celebratory year. And that's what I'm focusing on right now, having to work on 2 years within 1 year. So all of the programming and events for this year, and then working on next year as well. And that's as far as I'm taking things right now. In terms of the future, we just want to keep it going and keep providing more opportunities for the artists. And I'm looking at establishing more partnerships, different places around the world, working with the Canadian embassies and consulates, whose job it is to welcome Canadians wherever these consulates are in the world, who can be very helpful.
You know, you've been doing this since the mid-90s. What makes you keep at this year after year? And what gets you up in the morning to keep doing this? Because I think parts of it are probably a thankless job.
Yes, very much so. I can tell you the only thing that has me still doing this is the fact that it means something to the artists. And they write to us and they tell us how impactful it was and is in their life, how important it is to them. If people go to our website, there's a document that says testimonials, and you will see what they have to say about how they feel about it. And that is, you know, what they call the wind beneath my wings. If it did not mean something to them, I would not be doing it. I'm doing it for them. That's the whole point of it. And it hasn't been easy at all. You know, it's not easy, but I chose to do it. And it brings me a lot of joy and fulfillment and a sense of purpose in my life. So as annoying as they can be sometimes, I feel like a den mother. They really keep me young and enthusiastic about life. And I don't have any kids, so I'm like their mom, or they're like my kids. You know, sometimes they even will send me Happy Mother's Day greetings. It's very sweet. So yeah, there's a lot of love, and it's family. We call it the Honey Jam Fam. So we're family, and we look out for each other, and we take care of each other, and we root for each other. You know, that's a big thing, is just being there to encourage and support and amplify and uplift. It's a huge part of what we do.
Ebony, thank you so much for doing this. You've been absolutely amazing.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
That is Honey Jam founder Ebony Rowe. Make sure you hit up honeyjam.com for all the information and, of course, for their social media handles.
Listen anytime, anyplace. Just a click away. KellyAlexanderShow.com.
There's a bunch of things I wanted to speak to you about this week, including some television news. Several of the major networks have let it be known which shows are coming back next fall, which ones are going away, and even some new programs that are on the way. So let's kick off with the ABC network. They have let us know that Abbott Elementary is coming back, as is The Rookie, Grey's Anatomy, and Will Trent, not to mention 911. They are saying goodbye to The Good Doctor, as well as Station 19. Some new shows coming: High Potential and a Ryan Murphy series called Dr. Odyssey. Now, one show that is on the bubble, which is kind of sad, especially if you were a fan of the sitcom back in the 90s, is Roseanne, which of course now goes by The Conners. They've had solid, you know, ratings for years now, but for some reason they are on the bubble, and there are rumors that season 6 could be its last, which would be a shame because they are definitely so much fun to watch and hang out with. So hopefully they will get a season 7. Now, CBS has also announced which shows are coming, going, and also some new ones on the way. So first of all, CSI Vegas, Young Sheldon, So Help Me Todd, Bob Hart's Abishola, and Blue Bloods all going away. However, Blue Bloods will air new episodes into the fall. Now, the network has three new dramas on the way. One is called CSI Origins. There's a Sherlock Holmes medical drama called Watson, and also a Matlock reboot starring the phenomenal award-winning cast Kathy Bates. They have also greenlit two new comedies, a Young Sheldon spinoff, and also something called Papa's House, which stars Damon Wayans and his son, Damon Wayans Jr. So it looks like we'll get some good shows coming up in the fall. Now, moving over to some music news, it was recently Victoria Beckham's 50th birthday, and I'm sure you have seen the footage from her soiree, her party over in London. And what was great to see was all of the Spice Girls were in attendance, all five of them there together. And David Beckham actually recorded on his cell phone some footage of all of them singing along to their hit song, Stop. And so I don't know about you, but it's made me super excited that hopefully they will start to get themselves together and finally get that reunion tour off the ground. And I know that I think it was just before the pandemic, I think it was summer of 2019, they did some shows over in Ireland and the UK, and they were super successful. And it would just be absolutely amazing to have these ladies back in action. So fingers crossed for that. Also, wanted to give you a heads up that Saturday Night Live, the May 4th episode, is going to be Dua Lipa. She will not only be the guest host, she will also be the musical guest. And this is actually her third time being the musical guest, but her first time as guest host. So it should be interesting to see how she works it all together, weaves it all together. She is a true talent. She's a phenomenal artist. So looking forward to her episode of SNL. And also keep in mind that the day before that, on the 3rd of May, Dua Lipa will actually be releasing her new album, Radical Optimism. And she's had so many great singles so far. She's released Houdini and Training Season, just to name a few. And by all accounts, we are in for a treat when that album actually drops. Some more music news wanted to pass by you is Billie Eilish. She has released the track listing for her upcoming new album. The album is called Hit Me Hard and Soft. And this is Billie's third studio album. And she said that, you know, she and her constant collaborator, who of course happens to be her big brother, Phineas, when they were making this album, I think to take the pressure off, they just kind of put everybody else out of their minds and just worked on the album the way they wanted to work on the album. And I think that was a great strategy because they've had so much success the last several years, including winning Academy Awards, that I'm sure the pressure can build up inside of them thinking, you know, how are we going to top what we've already done? And so I think it's amazing that they just tried to put that to the side and just continue to be who they are. And who they are is clearly magical because of everything they've accomplished. And I just wanted to pass along some of the song titles that are coming your way on this this new album. One is called Skinny. There's a song called Lunch, Birds of a Feather, and also L'amour de ma vie, which means love of my life. And Billie, as far as we've seen for the track listing, has no collaborations on this album. It's all her, which is great. And she's going to drop the album on the 17th of May. Now, something else I was reading recently, an article has been put together with the top 15 best dance songs of all time. And so I'm going to tell you the top three, and you can always, you know, message me on our social media at Kelly Alexander Show on Instagram and on Twitter/X. It's at Kelly Alexander. Of course, you can message the Kelly Alexander Show on Facebook if you agree with this. And so the top three are, starting in third position, by Outkast, Heya. Number two is Billie Jean from Michael Jackson. And the number one best dance song of all time, according to this survey, is I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor. Those are all solid choices. I don't know, it's so hard. Like, I'm a huge fan of 90s dance songs. So, like, I would want to put in, like, a Crystal Waters in there with, like, Gypsy Woman or 100% Pure Love or Cece Peniston with Finally. Of course, Janet Jackson songs like Together Again, you know, Escapade, Miss You Much. Those are all amazing dance tunes. And not to mention, of course, one of my all-time favorites, and I'm sure yours as well, Madonna's Vogue. That's such a great dance song also. So you can, of course, let us know on our social media what you think. And a couple of other things I wanted to pass by you or let you know. First of all, Keanu Reeves, such a fun actor. He's actually going to be taking part in an animated movie. He's going to be voicing the character of Shadow in the upcoming Sonic the Hedgehog 3 movie. And he joins already announced fellow cast members Ben Schwartz, James Marsden, and Jim Carrey. And the movie is supposed to hit theaters right around Christmas of this year on the 20th of December. And I want to get back to some music news. I wanted to end on this because it's such a big deal. Taylor Swift, of course, recently surprised her fans. You know, they knew that she was dropping an album, but then she dropped like a double album. And so 31 songs have come our way recently. Of course, the name of the album, The Tortured Poets Department. And what I wanted to, I guess, bring to your attention, and again, you can reach out to us on social media to let us know what you think, is out of all the current pop artists of today that are doing amazingly well, which obviously Taylor Swift is one of them, I feel like when she drops an album, people are most excited about devouring her lyrics. It's like they want to know what she has to say lyrically, whether it's because they know they're going to relate to one of her songs, or they want to see if she's going after someone, or if, you know, just the way she is able to write and lyrically turn, you know, words and phrases on its head. It's just really interesting and something that I've noticed where everybody goes bananas to dissect her lyrics. And I just don't think there is one other artist in the pop world right now that we could say that that same phenomenon happens to them. Like, I know there's people, you know, super excited for a Billie Eilish album or super excited for an Ed Sheeran album. Of course, for Beyonce's new album. And I think Beyonce people do check her lyrics out as well. I just think with Taylor, because she's known as such a lyricist and that's where people have found her, especially over the last few years, I would say, you know, since she released like Folklore and even before that, people just really want to devour her lyrics. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, I mean, the analyzing has already started and people have already, you know, had thoughts about this, that, and something else. We'll see if Taylor ever responds to any of people's thought process, specifically that song that seems to be a hit on Kim Kardashian. So we'll see. And also, just before I wrap up, I did want to give a shout out to Beyonce with Cowboy Carter. Of course, that album has been out for a few weeks now, but I keep falling more and more in love with her song with Miley Cyrus, which is called Two Most Wanted. We're actually playing it a fair amount on the radio station that I work for here in Canada. And it's it just grows on me. I actually get goosebumps when I hear it because their voices blend so well together. So fingers crossed that in the future we get another Beyonce and Miley Cyrus collaboration, because they sound amazing and it would be absolutely stunning if they would do a whole album together. So fingers crossed.
The Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you so much for spending time with us on the program this week, and a big shout out to our guest, Ebony Rowe, the founder of Honey Jam. I want to thank our super producer, Andrew Sabino, for doing an amazing job putting the show together. And don't forget that you can grab all of our social media handles by hitting up our website, KellyAlexanderShow.com. We'd also love for you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just hit up YouTube and type in Kelly Alexander Show. Have an amazing week. You and I will chat soon.
The Kelly Alexander Show.